over to a chat with Vincent Carmody, author most recently of Listowel, A Printer's Legacy. Enjoy, folks.
I'd like to welcome to this Irish-American Life. I suppose I'll refer to you as author Vincent Carmody, although I have a feeling you're a man that wears many hats. Vincent, welcome to the programme.
Yeah, thank you very much indeed, Miriam.
And it's lovely to have you here loud and clear by way of technology all the way from Listowel here to New York. We're delighted to chat to you and looking forward to having you here in New York very soon. So first of all, let me congratulate you on what is a beautiful publication, Listowel, A Printer's Legacy, The Story of Printing in North Kerry, 1870 to 1970. I suppose for the benefit of our listeners and perhaps myself a little bit too, Vincent, can you start off by telling me a little bit about how this project started and how we've ended up with this lovely publication in our hands today?
Well, the initial idea came by chance. I come from William Street, Listowel, and about 150 yards down the street from me, there was a printer called Cuthbertson. Cuthbertson's forebears, his father, came from Saltcoats in Ayrshire, and he started a printing business in the Listowel in the early 1880s. And it was continued until 1960. Now, he was, by birth, a Scottish Presbyterian. Mm-hmm. And his son, young Bob, was a Scottish Presbyterian. They were very proud of their religion, but they were very proud of their nationalism as well. They became, like the old Normans, they became more Irish than the Irish.
And do you know, Vincent, why first day the original Cuthbertson man came to Listowel?
No, it's like in the midst of time, because Listowel would have been really a backwater. And we know that the old man, Robert Irvine Cuthbertson, came to Limerick as a printer. No, he had trained as a printer. No, when I say trained, he had spent 3 or 4 years, I'm sure, as a young fellow with a local newspaper in Saltcoats in Ayrshire. No, he had come over to Ireland, and I don't know what brought him to Limerick, but he was working for a firm in Limerick called Kirby's. Now, at the time, there was no printing or no printers between Limerick and Tralee. Now, a lot of Lord Listowel's agents, a number of his agents, would have given work to the Limerick printer. Now, he probably saw that there was a shortage of printers, and he probably was inventive and decided he'd become an entrepreneur, and he started his printing works in Listowel. Now, when he came, he started the first printing works, actually, in a place called Church Street. And the front room, he lived and worked in the front room. And the house belonged to a blacksmith called Wilmot, Ned Wilmot. And Wilmot's son... Now, I produced a book some years ago, and Wilmot had a letter. There was a letterhead and a bill from Wilmot, and he had a very childish writing, Wilmot, Ned Wilmot. He would have been, only had the basic education. And it is an amazing thing that his son became the Register of the National University of Ireland, James Wilmot.
Wow.
So, having started and the business thrived, and after a couple of years he went back to Saltcoats near Sir and got married to possibly a woman that he had grown up with. They got married and he came back to Listowel, and his first son was born about 10 months after they came back. And some years later, another number of children had come about. They had another number of children. And he decided to move house to a bigger, to move his office, and they moved to a bigger house in William Street, and they remained there until the last of the family died in 1960.
Oh, wow. So you, as a child, were taken by this business in terms of its history and its role in the community. Is that a fair description of how this was set in motion, Vincent, or tell us more?
Well, you see, the printer was a very important man in the days before radios and before telephones and things like that. And every public, or most public pronouncements, if they weren't in the paper, they were printed on sheets and they were printed on posters. And then the posters were nailed onto poles, or they were put on shop windows. So if there was a circus coming to town, that's how you know the circus came to town. The cinemas, there were two cinemas in this store, and they each had their bills again presented in the shop windows. So everything and anything was done by the post, by the printer. Now, there was also a very, very, very good man here in the store called Brian McMahon, who was an author, and he was a ballad maker. And he found an ideal file with Cuthbertson, because he was the writer of ballads, mm-hmm. and Cuthbertson became the printer of his ballads.
Wow.
And everyone in Munster knew of the penny ballads that Cuthbertson were producing. And he would supply them with for a halfpenny, and they'd be sold for a penny. And they became known as the penny ballads.
Wow. And so I suppose in a way, to your point, Vincent, it it was like the internet of its time in that sense, in terms of sharing information and then sharing cultural things, a great example in terms of the ballads, and part of why I think McMahon was referred to as the Ballad King, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that's right, the Ballad King is right. And so he essentially was the conduit, mm-hmm. how life evolved around the store. Like if the landlord and or a person wanted to sell a house, they went to Cuthbertson, and he printed the number posters, and they were displayed around the town, and that's how it was advertised.
Now, Vincent, how then, this book is replete with lovely reproductions, not only of photographs and images of various people and aspects of Listowel life, but it's a great archive of things produced by Cuthbertson in terms of posters and handbills, etc., and all these things that you're talking about. How did you get your hands on all this stuff? Was there an archive left, or how were you able to reproduce this stuff in the book?
Well, it's a long story, and one of the first posters, actually, how I got the first poster that I put my hands on was way back. I worked part-time in the local hotel as a barman there in the late 60s. And at the time, socials were a big thing in most communities here in Ochilry. Shops would have, the hardware shop would have their social, Creamery would have a social. So they'd sell their tickets and people would come and support them. It was a kind of a social night. And one night in particular, it was at the end of the performance, the band were playing The Last Waltz. And a man from RTA, RTA Creamery were having their social. And the man was called Mossy Brown. Mossy was larger than life. And he knew me, he through my father. My father was used to deliver Guinness and spirits for the local agent here in Knockery, Willie Gallivan. And my father used to go out there, and during the summer, as a young fellow, I used to be with him inside in the band, and I got to know Mossy Brown. So Mossy was looking at the band, and they were playing, it was the Western Star, I remember, and he turned to me, and he said, Vincent, he said, you know, he said, at home, he said, I have a poster, he said, of a band from Listowel from 1937. And I said, is that right? And he said, listen, he said, if we're ever passing by, you can give me a shout. So I'll give it to you. So that was fine anyway. The years passed by. I forgot about the poster. And about 10 years later, I had a sister who was a nun in Limerick. I was taking her back, actually, driving her back to Limerick. And rather than come home by Newcastle West, I'd be feeling like him. Over the mountain, over to Athy, and I was passing through Athy. Now, I hadn't seen Mossy Brown in about 13 or 14 years. And I was passing through the village of Athy, and he was standing on the door. And I stopped the car, and I wound down the window, and I said, hello, Mossy. And he looked at me and he said, by God, they don't come for the poster.
Only in Ireland.
So I went in. He said to me, come in. So I went in anyway to the van. There was about six or seven inside. I stayed out because an evening time. And I said, fellas probably had been in the mid or the bog, and they were having a pint before they went home. And they said there were six or seven around the counter. And Mossy said, listen, lads, will you have a pint, he said to me. So I said, I will, Mossy. So he stood a drink to the rest of the other people in the bar. And he said, I'll go upstairs and I'll get a poster for you. So he went up and came down, and we were chatting. So I was anxious to go, but I couldn't go without standing a drink. So I said, listen, Mossy, give the boys a drink there. So I think at the time it cost about a tenner, which was a lot of money back in the 1970s, £10. So anyway, I got the poster, and that possibly was the first poster. But I was collecting then after, you know, they turn up at the strangest places at the strangest times. And then we had a local priest, a priest from here actually, but he had been around the county. His name was Father Kieran O'Shea, and Father Kieran O'Shea had collected some posters, and the unfortunate man, he actually got Parkinson's, not muscle soul, and died. And but before he died, I remember we were chatting one time. He was up over the house with me, and he said to me, Vincent, he said, I have somebody, he said, look, posters, and he said, you're big into this, and he said, I give them to you. So between that, and then I got some from the county library, and they gave, when they knew I was doing this, they gave me them to copy and things like that.
Well, I'm telling you, Vincent, they're a great snapshot in terms of local history, the social and cultural history of an area, and these stretch not only Listowel and other parts of the county, and I'd say beyond as well. They're really a very not only colourful and interesting kind of source, but very insightful in terms of there's a good bit of information on some of them, you know.
Well, that was the thing. Like when I set about it, now I had a role model in the previous book I'd done back in 2012, a book called Snapshots of an Irish Map of Town. Now that comprised of me in the main letterheads and billheads that again I had come across. A lot of it by accident. Mm-hmm. They were bound for the dump, and I actually retrieved them from a dust lorry. And I got bags of them, and I spent a long time going through them. And when I had them catalogued, I thought would be a lovely way of displaying history. So I produced that book back in 2012 called Knockaddy Camera. Snapshots of an Irish Market Town. But the one thing I realised was I just couldn't put them in without putting in some explanation. So I developed this thing about getting as much information on each billhead or on each poster, and that's what I have done. Now, clear, one scene that I'll be going to New York, there is one poster actually, and like it's lovely the way you can tie up, we'll say, a poster from the store with Brooklyn in New York. And it's the sale of available leasehold property in the store in 1911. Now, the woman that was selling this property, she had been left it. Her father had died, mother remarried, the second husband died, and the mother died, and she was left. Molly Cremins, the daughter, the only daughter, was left the property. A fairly big house in William Street. And she went to live next door in a pub with her aunt. And she sold the pub, which she had originally let to a family called Broderick's. And she sold the premises. And she became very active in coming them on.
Right.
Herself and May Brennan and a few more. There was John B. Cain's mother. They were very active in coming them on. So you had Molly Cremins. After the Civil War, a retired fireman from New York, he came home. He was originally from Listowel, and his name was Cornelius Healy. And they met each other, fell in love with each other, and they got married here in Listowel, and they went on to back to New York.
Okay.
And he continued his work as a fireman. And when I researched it, I found in the Rhinelander Daily News, Wisconsin, January 3rd, 1935, it said two firemen are dead as the result of a collapse of a stairwell in the fire-swept Brooklyn tenement building. The stairwell crumpled as 40 firemen stood upon them fighting the last stages of a stubborn blaze last night. The two firemen who lost their lives were Lieutenant John J. Steedman of Engine 228 and Fireman Cornelius Healy of Engine 233. Both of them were pronounced dead as they had been removed as they were being removed to hospital. Now, it's amazing to tie up a poster, a woman who sold a house in Listowel, and a man who died in Brooklyn.
And she presumably then ended up a widow here in New York.
She died in 1949.
In New York.
In New York.
Wow.
No,
they had
two.
I mean, Vincent, it's really rich history that you've been able to trace in the process of researching all this and really shedding light on an aspect of the history of a market town that presumably, towns all over Ireland, had a printer that served this function, but you've done a remarkable job of pulling it all together in Listowel, a printer's legacy. Now, I want people to know that you're coming to New York. You'll be speaking on Friday, March 8th at 8 p.m. at the Kerryman's P&B Association of New York, which is at 305 McLean Avenue in Yonkers. Presumably, you're going to talk about the book and the project a little bit there, and I'll actually be there to say a few words. So I assume it's anyone who's interested in coming along. It's an open invitation, Vincent, is that correct?
Anyone who's interested and they'd like a nice evening with Miriam and Vincent, they'd be more than welcome.
Well, what more could one ask for of a March evening, Vincent?
Yeah.
I'm very much looking forward to meeting you, and I'm delighted that
your familial relationship with the great American historian Richard White has led to the connection in terms of us knowing about you and your work. And of course, we had a copy, of course, of your 2012 book as well here in the house as well, which was wonderful to have. But I do want to encourage people, if you're around on Friday, March 8th, and you want to hear about this fascinating example of local history and what can be done with unusual types of sources, and a really lovely publication. It has the look of a coffee table publication, but is jam-packed with information and lovely reproductions of images and posters. Comhghairdeas, Vincent, and safe travel over. And we'll see you Friday, the 8th of March. And thank you for taking the time to chat to us here on this Irish American Life.
Miriam, I am indebted to you.
Not at all.
Gori Mila Mahogood.
Second Mayor Bowlhu. Thanks very much, Vincent.
Okay, Miriam. Thank you very much. Bye bye.
We're coming.